Frenchie, you did a nice job, but you didn't make very many, huh? You're a good man. Well, you're as good as Lois can make you at this stage of life. Jim, he'll bring you some in just a second, friend. Right here to this very good-looking guy. 2 Samuel 19. All right, 2 Samuel 19, please. Everybody got some notes? Let's all stand, please. Right before we read the scripture, I have a weird question to ask you. Now, please, if it's illegal, do not say anything. Please. Do you have any weird things you like to do? You don't think they're weird. I like that, Rhonda. That's the whole point. That's good. I like you, sister. I really do. Friend, I'm going to talk about the introduction, something that I like to do that's weird. Why I like to do it, I could not tell you in a million years. I still like the feel of it to this moment. I'll give you an introduction, but it's not me. My father, by the way, have you ever asked yourself, not religion, because religion confuses everything. If you have a day off, what would you like to do? Some people just watch television and veg. Oh, I'd shoot myself. I'd shoot you and me. My father's favorite activity was going out with two chainsaws, one monster, one medium. He liked to cut down trees. He liked the whole concept of cutting them. Remember, I grew up in ravines that are dangerous. You have to cut trees so they fall the right. A lot of men get killed not knowing how to do that. See, everything's a joke when you haven't done it. But when a tree falls on you, good things don't follow. I have a weird habit. I'll tell you what it is in a minute, but it's going to help you with the sermon. Well, I got many, but I can't talk about all of them tonight. There's just one thing I like to do. I haven't done it since I've been here. I don't have the opportunity. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 40. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and I love this name, Chimham, went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and have brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? Not Phil Jordan, by the way. River Jordan. And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. Do you all hear anything here? Have you ever gotten an argument with your family? And you're arguing with brothers and sisters or cousins and, oh, who gets grandma's? By the way, my mother has nothing that anybody wants. She has 10,000 rabbits. Those, you know, and probably that many shoes. This sounds like a good old-fashioned family squabble. We continue. So in verse 42, all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten of all the king's cost, or has he given us any gift? I'm hoping the answer would be no. And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we have also more right in David than ye. Why then did you despise us? By the way, it's always good to hear that language. that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king. And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And there happened to be there a man of Belial. That's a Hebrewism, friend. A man of Belial just means a worthless individual. Hebrew doesn't have adjectives much like we do. So the way they describe something is they often say a man or a son of. Remember, sons of thunder, son of encouragement, Barnabas, tends to be that way. There was a man of Belial, a worthless guy, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a what? Is that part of Judah or part of Israel? Israel. And he blew a trumpet and said, oh, by the way, what tribe was Samuel from? Excuse me, what tribe was Saul from? Thank you. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, who? Not Judah. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. Tonight, we're going to talk about cracks in the foundation. Now, what I'd like you to do is, I'd like you to listen. Number two, I'd like you to drop defenses, because this would be personal. Because we're going to talk about you as an individual. We're going to talk about not people like Bill Smith or something, but people in general. We're going to talk about a church. And as Jim Duncan talked to me this morning, and he's right on, do we have hostility in America today? But our problem is, as Americans, we have a lie that we're holding on to, that America will always continue the way it is. Folks, there is hostility out there among even different states. You have Alabama, Missouri, passing laws. Missouri's law makes more sense to me than Alabama, against abortion. And what did our state just pass? Chop them up when they come out. Who cares? Dismember them. Throw them in the trash can. A nation can't long exist that has that much polarization. So I'm going to, in general, approach a whole bunch of things by talking about cracks in the foundation. Is that fair? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. May you use me. I don't desire to hurt anybody's opinions and feelings. But I think we do need to recognize within our life, within our families, if there are cracks, those cracks don't go away. And we are seeing the cracks in our nation. And I don't know of any way right now, apart from amazing work of grace, to reverse the trend. Help us as we look at this text and others. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. About a month ago, I think it was a Wednesday, I could be wrong on the date, someone that used to attend this church 20 years ago or so called me up. I am now, and I cannot demonstrate it, I am now 2.5. I've had 2.5 people in my pastoral ministry say I was right about something. Frenchie, turn this up. I don't want to have to yell just to speak. He was on the phone, and this is what he said. Pastor Warren, you were right. I have something in your notes. I'm going to come back to what I like to do. You'll understand where I'm going. I could not have said this when I came here at age 39. I would have been lying. At age 39, I like to be right. At age 62, I don't care to be right anymore. Now, I'm not a stupid person. I'm going to tell you how I look at people. I look at the foundation, and if there's a crack in that foundation, now hear me again. I would prefer to be wrong every time. When I was young, I had a massive ego. Name me the male that doesn't. With age, I don't like to see anybody self-destruct, ever. Lord, hopefully I've grown at least an inch. I prefer to misread the situation. I always want to either be wrong or to be proven wrong. So how do I see things in the future? Well, here it is. It's related to my father. Dad liked to cut down trees. I never cared for cutting down trees. I did a lot of it with him. I didn't cut. I would do things with the trees. I would use an axe and trim off limbs. Sometimes I would use a small chainsaw, which to you would be a big chainsaw, because Dad used a monster and he used a big one. The little baby, you don't have baby chainsaws where you're cutting real trees down. They don't do any. You know, those little wing things, those are not chainsaws. My favorite thing to do, when my brother lived on the farm, my dad and my brother would cut trees. And they would have trees, you know, this big around. They would cut them in pieces. And my favorite, I don't know why I like it. If you come to my garage, you saw them in my garage. I still have my splitting maul and two wedges. And I can split anything with a splitting maul and two wedges. I love splitting wood. Now you say, why? I'm weird too. So are you. But the only thing I like as much as splitting wood is bringing a city slicker and watching them try to split wood. They think it's easy. They just take that wedge and put it in there. First of all, unless you have swung a sledgehammer a while, is it easy to hit that thing square? Most people think it's muscle. It has nothing to do with muscle. Any farmer can do it better than anybody in this room because they've done it every day of their life and they can hit it flat and there's a certain swing. It's not machoism. I just like the feel of splitting wood. Two wedges and a splitting maul. And if you don't know what a splitting maul is, then you really don't know what I'm talking about. But I got a question for you. Tim, you would know. You did this, didn't you? Or you're not one of those weenie guys that you had a thing on the back of the tractor that split the wood. Mr. Losey had one of those. Irritated me. How do you split wood? Every tree has a crack. Find out where the crack is. Put the wedge in that crack. By the way, do you put the... Let's see if you're really a city slicker. If it's this big around, do you put the wedge in the center? No, it doesn't do you any good. You put it one edge on the other. And oftentimes, you won't even have to put it on one side and use a splitting maul on the other, and I can just whack that wood. There's only one kind you can't do it with. It's called knot woods with knots in it. You say, what do you do with those? I give them to city slickers and let them try. They spend a week trying to know. Actually, you roll that thing into the ditch, let it set for 3 or 4 years, and then you can split it right up. Now, are you looking at me, friend? Pastor Warren is rarely wrong about people. Not because Pastor Warren is special. I can see cracks. Can you? I'm going to say this later. If it makes you angry, good. If you come back to me, and Bambi gets this all the time, she's heard it more than almost anybody in this room. Somebody that hates me and hates this church has gone off to live in their sin. Somebody in the church will go see them, and they'll come back and report to her. I'm not sure why to her, and say, we're doing so much better. And my first thought is, I hope so, but I want to see, have you fixed the crack in your foundation? If you haven't, nothing has changed. You do realize, folks, a crack is a crack, whether it's here or 1,000 miles from here. Yes or no? Cracks don't change. I don't have any special insight. But I'm rarely wrong about people because you run up against the crack. And cracks, do they get smaller? We're going to look at this tonight. By the way, we're going to apply it a lot of different ways because in this story, it's between Israel and whom? And Judah. Does that crack get better? Yes or no? It eventually does what? Ruptures. And we see it right here in the text. So when I ask the question, how do I, and should be you also, see the future? It's not that you have magic glasses. Number one, there are always cracks. 2 Samuel 19:40 says this. King went on to Gilgal. Chinham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king and half the people of Israel. You already have a crack here. And then later, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and have brought the king and all his household and all of David's men with him over Jordan? There are always cracks. I don't care what you call it. You can call it, as I say, a crevice, a fissure, a weak spot, a division, a failure to cohere, a failure to properly set up or set. But the point being is, if the foundation of anything has cracks, friend, if you want to go at something, you go at the cracks. So, look at me. Ladies, let me speak to ladies. If you have body image problems, nothing under God ever removes that except God. You can be married 50 times, you'll still be ashamed of your body. We have a little lady back here named Emily that spent weeks talking about shame, of which many people didn't bother to go listen to. Things don't go away. Cracks continue. Oh, by the way, you say, I'll get married and that'll solve my problems. Then you will look at your husband and blame him until he dies that he doesn't like the way you look, when the 100% of the problem is right here. I don't know what to do as a pastor. Sometimes I'm like, do we not see the cracks in our own foundation? Why do we keep looking out there for the solutions? Nothing changes. Cracks, fissures, in your notes. Am I always right? No, I'd prefer never to be right. Of course not. But simply stated, I can spot and follow the crack. Is that hard to figure out? And cracks eventually crack further, if left alone. Am I saying fair things? Yes or no? If it's left alone, it will eventually get better on its own. Dave Haas's father died. He died from a form of cancer. Most of you don't know this. Most of you know his dad even died. His dad died recently. Why did he die from cancer? Never had it treated. It went away on its own, didn't it? Yes, it did go away on its own when he died. Stuff doesn't just suddenly change. You say, I'm going to go someplace and get away from mean people. Okay, but you still got the crack. A woman came to me and said she was saved and she wanted to get baptized. I wasn't for sure she was saved, because I knew she had a crack. Please look up here. She had a friend that was a person pulling her to evil. Did you hear me? She had a friend pulling her to evil. I talked to the woman. She said she was saved. She kept using all the language. I said, okay, right over here, I got her at least wet. After a few years, her friend, which is very, has charisma, her friend held on to her and she held on to her friend. She would not give up her friend. So here, you're thinking, Pastor Warren doesn't like people. I like the person fine. But I know something. If you have a friend that's dragging you down into the mud, sooner or later you either give up the friend and fix the crack, or you hang on to the friend. And by the way, this individual hung on to the friend. Today, this person that used to sit right in this service is divorced, living in bars. Yes. You say, who is it? It's not important who it is. Doesn't that hurt you? Doesn't it bother you that people you've known are doing this? Friend, cracks don't go away. So when you come and tell me so-and-so is doing so much better, I'm going to say to you, have they fixed their cracks? If they have, they're doing a lot better. But taking your crack from here to there takes your crack right with you. Hey, by the way, if I brought a piece of wood from the farm that I grew up on up here, I'd split it in exactly the same place. I'd look for the... Exactly. I have a lot of issue stories, but I won't tell all of them. 15 to 20 years ago, it's the worst moment in the history of this church for me, not for you. I started a Bible study on Thursday night for families that wanted to learn about parenting. I did that, and by the way, we had time. I was doing this. I'd teach a session, we'd eat some, we'd come back, and we'd have discussion. Did it for 4 weeks. At the end of 4 weeks, I closed it down because I'm looking at people in the eyes and I realize something. They are not going to do what I'm teaching. Without exception, I could name the names. Every family has done this. 15 years, you can't hide the cracks. Now, by the way, I was doing this to benefit them. We had time. I'm thinking, we don't have time in Sunday school. It's only 45 minutes. We'll do a special night and just talk about family. I shut the thing down and said, I'm done with this. You say, does it hurt? It kills me. I had a woman come to me many years ago in this church, and she said to me as much as this, I will not love my husband. Now, she isn't going to come up to you and say that. She's going to say, Lake County Baptist is legalistic. Pastor Warren's mean. A million things. There's only one problem. Hey, when a woman comes up to you and says, I am not going to be a wife to my husband, or vice versa, do you think it's going to get better? Nothing changed. Well, yeah, it changed. Divorce. Of course. Cracks in the foundation. So I'm going to repeat that again and go to the second point. Am I always right or correct? The answer is no, of course not. But I can spot and follow the cracks. And cracks eventually crack further if left alone. This is true of individuals, churches, families, movements, and frankly, even what? I think Jim was expressing fear today because most of us, we live in Illinois, most of us, except the few backsliders in Georgia. By the way, no state's safe. Georgia, isn't Georgia, didn't you just barely have a Republican win recently as a governor, correct? I mean, it was a hair's breadth. So it isn't like Georgia's some great state. No state is safe. We have polar opposites, friend. We have people passing laws for no abortions ever. And the other ones, like Illinois, is you can murder your child anytime you want to. Do you understand? This country can't cohere very long. After a point in time, things come apart. Number two in your notes. Those cracks, there are cracks with long histories. For time, I'm not going to read all the verses this evening. Other than to say, as we look at chapter 20 in 2 Samuel, and we see, folks, look up here, and then I'll just look at a few verses. You can read these on your own. This is what you're going to find. These cracks between Israel and Judah didn't start that day. They had long history. I can't even tell you for sure where it began. But I do know this. When David was trying to come to the throne, it was already present. Meaning, there was the people that followed Saul, which is the northern tribes, and the folks that followed David, which were the southern, really, two tribes, Judah mainly, Levi, and some others that scattered down there. There was already those cracks. I have it in your notes, but I'm not going to read it tonight. You can go all the way back to Judges. Remember the book? Do you remember there was a guy named Jephthah? You remember he won a big victory? And one of the tribes came hating on him, and we had tribal warfare? And how did they know which tribe you were from? They asked you to pronounce the word W-A-S-H. Frenchie has lost all of his horrible accent he would have had in Rhode Island. Right, Frenchie? But where I'm from, my mother would say, go wash your hands in the sink. I grew up with that. My wife, after 40 years, has mostly broken me of that. Mostly. Until I go home, and I go right back to it. No, do you remember the word? Shibboleth, Sibboleth. The accent of one of, it's like Filipino languages. If you're a Tagalog speaker, you say it one way, and Kapampangan speakers do it the opposite, just to confuse white people. I know the point. And it works. Look, if you would, all the way down to the bottom of the page to 1 Kings 4. By the way, in 1 Kings 4, David is dead. Is that correct? Yes? It says in Judah and Israel, but you still have a Judah and an Israel. They dwell safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba. And folks, that's from like east to west, north to south. Dan was in the far north, Beersheba in the south. It was the extreme opposites. In England, they would say John of Groats to Land's End. I mean, that's the extreme opposites. But the point being is, all the days of Solomon, they lived in peace, but there still was a Judah and there was an Israel. Well, when Solomon died, what happened? Rehoboam was a fool. The people of the north come to Rehoboam. But the point you need to hear is they were already seeing themselves. We're from the north, you're from the south. The division was already there. So when the division happened, it was very natural because the division was one of long standing. Do you know those little places you don't obey? Hey, those little places you don't implement Scripture, they have a way of splitting the foundations in future generations. Turn the next page, please. I'll skip the verses for time. You can read the Judges and all those verses on your own. All they do is demonstrate this has been going on for a long time. Here are the facts about Israel as a nation. Israel began with 12 sons and what? Can you tell me what else? There were 12 sons, correct? And what else? It's a trick. How many wives do you think they had? 12 sons and 12 wives. Now, he had four, but I mean, there were... The sons married women, yes? Does that cause division? Well, in my mother's family, there were 9 boys and 3 daughters. Jenny, my family is reasonably unified with the exception of where the women dominate. So the brothers that married women that dominated, those brothers didn't get around the family. How do you put 12 brothers together with daughters? I mean wives. And there was daughters too. I'm asking you a question. You say, where does the division come from? It came from the very beginning. All you got to do is get 12 women that are married to 12 brothers together, and all of a sudden, one thinks I'm prettier than the other, one thinks I'm smarter, and it just, ooh. Okay, next, to the right. Then there became 12 tribes, and the wives of the 12 tribes. So the division grows. If you read the book of Joshua, you have 12 locations or allotments of land. 12 locations are allotments of lands. And this is just a guess. I cannot prove this totally. My guess is, Dada, you'll like this. There was probably 12 dialects. Because when you move into a certain area and you only live in that area, what generally happens, Ade, in Cameroon? You have a different language in every big city, correct? That's the nature of things. And then... Are you all listening? Are you all getting the point of this? When you see this nation fighting, this had been going on forever. And people have these little differences. When my wife first met me, listen, my family's been in Illinois a lot longer than her family. But she thought I was from some other place. Because my accent's different than people from Chicago. I don't have a Chicago accent. You say, what kind of an accent you have? Rural Southern Illinois accent. Miserable. I learned it from my mother. Do dialects cause problems? I'm going to ask, we got Spanish speakers here tonight. Rolando, I know that you are not educated in Spanish. I speak Spanish about 3 words. But if I'm in an airport in South America, I can tell you who's from Argentina. Argentina has an accent that's unmistakable. If I'm in Florida, I know who is from Cuba. Every other word has equal on the end. I can tell someone who is from Central America, like Costa Rica. They tend to be calmer and gentler. I can tell someone who's Puerto Rican. They're not calmer. Doesn't mean they're bad people. It means what? We're different. At the funeral, Dada, when you read Tagalog, of course, all I could hear was that ung, because that's hard for an American to say. And then the FBI read it Ilocano. Dialects make a difference. Oh, wait a minute. The problems have been here for a long time. How things fell out, language, culture. I know this for sure, and I'm not going to demonstrate this tonight. It's not important. This is certainly true of dialectical differences between North and South. Even within Scripture, Hebrew is not consistent. And most people think when Hebrew is different, the difference was the Hebrew in the North was somewhat different than the Hebrew in the South. And there's little differences. And when you're reading it, it's confusing when you're trying to learn a language. Hey, try to learn Spanish. You think Spanish is Spanish, don't you? Mm-hmm. Rolando, I showed him the Bible that I was going to have up here for the graduation. He told me it was wrong until he showed it to his mother, and his mother said, no, it was right. He was wrong. Because the Bible is written in Castellano from Spain. It's more formal. It has the Sotros form, which you don't use. It's more of a formal thing. By the way, dialect is different. It separates people. Look in your notes. Let's continue. They had 12 competing interests. It seemed like the 10 tribes of the north tended to gather together. They had their own competition, but mainly they had competition against the south. But competing interests are a big problem. They had 12 different relationships, especially relationships with the king. Next, they had 12 different histories or stories. Do you remember when the children of Israel, way back in Joshua, crossed the Jordan River? Do you remember there were 2.5 tribes that were going to do what? Stay on, not in the promised land. They were going to stay on the other side of Jordan, which in the New Testament is called Perea. Do you think they developed a lot of differences between the people that lived in the promised land? So you say, what happened? Here's the deal, friend. Let's make it simple. Here's how you know what's going to happen. There are cracks. And those cracks, long history. So it's inevitable, North and South. Just does it. I pray that our country doesn't get to that place. But I do know this. We have people in the state of Illinois. It'll never happen. I'm assuming you know this, that we have people from downstate that every year propose to our Congress that the rest of Illinois separates from Cook County. Do you not know that? It will never happen because Cook County outvotes the rest of the state. Would the rest of the state be happy? Oh, yes, very happy. Very happy. Number three, those cracks are rarely what we think or say about they are about. We think they're one thing, but they're really something else. So we read this text. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half of the people. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, they confront the king and say, why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away? And brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan. But if you ask them what the problem was, they're not going to tell you what it all is, but you start seeing it in the text, 42. And all the men of Israel, Judah answered the men of Israel, well, because the king is near kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's cost? Or has he given us any gift? See, Judah thought they were innocent. And in some ways they were. They hadn't taken anything from the king. He hadn't given them any gifts. But the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts. You're only 2 tribes. We're 10. And we also have more right in David than you do. Why then do you? What's that language? Years ago, when Pete Vasilovich was still here, but this is many years ago, happened 2 or 3 times. Most of you know I like to pick on certain people. Nancy is my favorite right now, and evil one up in the front. Louis Haras is right in the mix. Pete Vasilovich, I love to pick. Pete's a good friend. I talked to him yesterday. He was happy because the Yankees won. He's always happy. Somebody said, why does he like Pete Vasilovich so much? What did that mean? Why doesn't he? Of course, he misread the whole thing. I was picking on Pete because it was funny. He could get everybody's attention for 30 seconds. And I knew Pete liked to be picked on. He likes to pick on me. Now, Louie doesn't pick on me much. Nancy, that's a different story. Look in your notes. So what were the Creese cracks really about? They were about jealousy. Does jealousy ever enter into an organization? Yes? You say, not a church, Pastor Warren. Now, everyone look at me. Who's my favorite? I'm going to ask you a question. Who is my favorite singer to sing solos in this church? Pachungay, bar none. She won't sing any solos. I love to hear Pachungay. But I think most people would think my daughter, my son. I'd rather hear Pachungay sing than anybody. Now, she'll never sing when I need her to. She gets emotional. She gets that from Dada. She is Pusong Mamon. She is very soft-hearted. Let's continue. What else do you find in this text? Honor and dishonor. Actually, the men of Israel thought the men of Judah were dishonoring them. Does that enter into churches too? Hold it. Does that enter into families? Well, you didn't invite me to your picnic. Folks, do me a favor. Don't invite me to your picnic. I look like a picnic. I'll be okay without the picnic. Oh, really? Well, it was matters of history. There were also matters of patronage. They thought they had 10 pieces of David, and the other tribes only ought to have 2. You know? So basically, we should get our fair share. Before I move to the fourth one, let me talk about Pastor Koak. Pastor Koak had, by the way, have you ever noticed when people have cracks? Hey, look at me, please. When people have a crack, they never talk about the crack. It's the old elephant in the room. You go to somebody's house, there's an elephant in the living room. But nobody wants to talk about that elephant. They're looking under the elephant. There's a scoop shovel over there. When the elephant does its business, somebody just picks it up and throws it away. The elephant makes noise. You just wait and then listen. And you're the first time you've ever been there. Hey, 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 hey. And you're wondering, why aren't we talking about? Here's the cracks. Pastor Koch has very few problems in this school. And by the way, if you tend to be negative, I'm going to correct what I say in this church because I've come to realize a few negative people here don't hear what's being said. He and I have talked about this in depth. He rarely has problems with kids. Rarely. Did you hear that? Rarely. No, the kids in the school are not all evil and of the devil. I only know one or two. They're sitting right here in the front row. They're like their grandfather. At least Amber can be. So Pastor Koch had to deal with a student. The student does everything wrong. Pastor Koch tried to have a conversation about what the student was doing wrong, trying to get them to do right. Parents came in. After a five-second conversation, I don't think they used the word, but they used every word but that word. They concluded that their child was perfect and Pastor Koch was a racist. And my question is, what does racism have to do with your kid doing wrong? Is he a racist? Well, the answer is, of course. He's a cheesehead. All cheeseheads are messed up. I mean, every morning he bows 3 times towards Green Bay, you know. Of course. I don't know if racism is the right word. Wisconsinism. How's that sound? Hey, when a person has problems, they can talk about everything except the elephant or the crack in the middle of their life. Let's talk about the crack. Is that fair? Number 4. Cracks can be patched up, at least temporarily. 2 Samuel 3, verse 1, After Saul was killed, and there was a rebellion, of course, another, and by the way, and the rebellion fell out north and south. Here Saul is dead, David's the next king, but the rebellion fell out north and south. It says, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Chapter 5, verse 1, finally, after a long time, came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake unto him, behold, we are of thy bones and of thy flesh, and in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigns over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. If you ask how you patch up cracks, Tim Durham, you are a builder. You know cracks are your enemy, correct? Can you ever fix a crack? It's really hard, isn't it? You normally, in some way, you try to solidify it, patch it up, and in some ways, that will work for a while. Here's what will help an organization. And Jim, it'll help a country if we could find a Ronald Reagan to rally to a common cause. But I haven't seen one since Bush had the ideas, didn't have the thing that Reagan could do in my lifetime. By the way, I'm not a John F. Kennedy fan, but John F. Kennedy had the same thing. If you listen to Kennedy's speech, he could rally a nation. We have not had those kind of men in a long, long time. It's real hard to call people a basket of deplorables while rallying people together. And I don't need to say anything about Trump. Okay, no further there. What can help an organization? Well, good leadership can. If you want to pray for our country, pray for some good leadership. What do I mean by good leadership? Hey, look at me, please. Having the common good of America in mind. Not their special interests, not all their idiosyncrasies. Wouldn't you like a leader that could rally people and say, we're going to move the whole nation forward? That's going to mean some decisions, and it's going to take someone who can speak. It's the same in a church. It's the same in any organization. It requires somewhat unity of purpose. And maybe this is saying the same thing. Next below that is a common mission. I will say this. I believe normally America does best during times of crisis or times of war. Look, when has our nation been most unified? Great Depression, World War II. Why? It was us or die. We had some of that in 9/11 for 5 minutes, but our country's too, the fracture's too big, I think, to patch over, apart from amazing work of God. The 9/11 patch lasted a year? Maybe 2 years? The hatred came back. I would say in a church, and I'm going to be preaching on this in the future, there's a great text in 2 Samuel. It won't be make-believe stuff. I think most importantly in a church and in a country, you have to fight. It's fighting your real enemies. If you're fighting one another, you're not going very far. Would you all agree with that? What about a family or an individual? Well, let's go back to Bambi because she loves it when I mention her name. She will come to me and say, so-and-so said they're doing so much better. By the way, Bambi, don't have to tell me names. How many times have you heard that? Dozens? Dozens. First question I would ask is, have they dealt with the cracks? Don't talk religion to me. Cracks don't go away. But I never hear anybody talk about that. They're just doing so much better, which means if you can get away from here, you can do a lot better too. Which is a lie, because the same problems you have here are the same problems you're going to have any place, because the person that's common is you and you're there or here. So don't come to me and say, so-and-so is doing so much better unless you can say these words. How about this? Repentance. If the lady that said, I will not love my husband, would say, Pastor Warren, I have repented, then I would say, glory to God. But don't talk about they're doing so much better with no repentance. If I teach on rearing children, you know, bedtime, mealtime, and you're disobeying that and you hate that, don't talk to me about you're doing better. Hey, you're either obeying Scripture or you're not. The second point is on the other side, is obedience. The obvious application of biblical truth. That's how you fix cracks. That's how you patch them up. Next. There has to be a before and an after. I could flesh this out, but I will not because of time. Friend, anybody that tells me they're doing so much better, the first thing I want to know is, this is how you were. Tell me what's different now. Don't tell me that you're doing just wonderful, everything is great. Hey, look at me, friend. Now, this is the sad part. We have folks that are older here. That's fine. There's not a person in this room that don't have some cracks in their foundation. Question is, what you're going to do about it? Repentance, obedience will help you personally and in your family. You know what won't help you? Keeping doing what you're doing. If everybody can see the crack, or if you don't like that analogy, everybody sees the elephant, and they wonder why you keep feeding the elephant and cleaning up after the elephant. What are you doing? Vacuuming around the elephant. I would assume sooner or later it's get rid of the elephant. Repentance, obedience. Next. Before and an after. Or maybe this is another way of saying it. I didn't, but now I do. Do I think this ever happens? Oh, yes. Look at me. Yes. But those people never say, I'm doing so much better. Those are people who are humbled. Hey, there's somebody that used to be a part of this broader ministry. I met at Sam's Club. I have never met a more humbled person. Now, I don't know that they're in the position they ought to be in biblically because of the churches they're part of, but this particular person has a child that's come out as lesbian. And all of that Christian lies has been deflated. I know one thing. She has stopped lying. To me, that's a major breakthrough. Now, would I prefer her child not to come out as lesbian? You better know it. But hear me. My wife had problems with that family, and my wife is nice. She's not me. The males in that family were so arrogant towards women. That kind of crack doesn't go away. Lastly, cracks patched up tend to pop up or break up again. You say, why? It's in your notes. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have that sin that does so easily beset you. Can I ask you a question before we close? This is a simple message. Do you know what your sin is? Hey, look up here. Is your sin, men, passivity, where you will not take a stand? Is your sin every time there's a problem, you blow up and then go back to TV? Is your problem you just can't take the Scripture and put it into your family? For a while, you can cover it up. Maybe even patch it up. But here's our problem. Everybody in this room has certain things they have tendencies toward. I remember hearing about a pastor. I can't say anything else. I can't say who it is or even any connections. But it was somebody known across the nation that had grown up in a drunkard's home. It's kind of amazing. Here's a guy that preached in fundamental places, led fundamental institutions, and died a drunk. Oh, he had excuses, but the cracks never went away. Here's what I recommend to you. See this thing here? Flee to the Scripture, the word of His grace. Repent, obey, and may I ask for all of you to do this. Pray for this country. We're a country coming apart. But hey, we're not coming apart just between Illinois and Missouri, we're coming apart in families. Rear your children. Influence your grandchildren. You say, do you like to see your grandchildren? Yes, but not because they get in my... I like to see them because I want to do what? Influence them. I'll say this and I'm done. I hate this thought. Maybe you don't think like I do. Last week, why do I think these kind of thoughts? My little buddy Jesse, he was at my house today, and the other three too. And Jesse is still nice because he can't walk. William is not nice. William is a thunker. He just takes something and takes it up to his brother and whacks him every time. I looked at Jesse, and it suddenly dawned on me. When he's 18 years old, I'm 80. It's time to wake up. You going to wake up or roll over and go back to sleep? Let's stand. Father, thank you.